The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Blue Canary. The bird has landed on beautiful Bainbridge Island, conveniently located at 499 Madison Avenue. ASE Master Technician Clint Ramsey brings over 15 years of experience, award-winning diagnostic skill, and a desire to reinvent the automotive repair experience. Schedule an appointment online at bluecanary.biz or call them today at 206-451-4220. I got something for your mind, body, and soul. I got something for your mind, body, and soul.
Bystander Podcast. Now here's your host with the most, Tiny Tim.
What's good, Podcastville? You found the Bystander Podcast. Happy generic time of day to you. I have C. Bennett. Corey Bennett, the artist in the gloom tomb with me. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. Beautiful Friday, fresh outside, snowy, sunny.
Well, snowy where you live. It's not quite snowy here, but it's cold.
It's definitely cold, but
you got through with traffic okay?
Definitely.
Well, that's PNW Wonderland right there. It's layers.
Get your layers on.
Nice. I can't believe you brought a piece into the gloom tomb. This is beautiful. What do we got in front of us?
So this is a 4x4 trapezoid painting, original painting that I did using mixed media, spray paint, acrylic paint, paper, and it's entitled American Delight. And it's kind of like a story of the tale of the American dream, striking it rich out west in gold, gold mining. And so I'm
what does Canada have to do with it here?
Oh, that's a Canadian dry drink, right?
Yeah.
Don't you love it? Pop a bottle, just drink it straight from the bottle.
Well, I was just wondering how it has to do with gold.
Oh, well, that's the life of luxury that you ensues from
getting the gold.
Oh, yes.
It wasn't Hennessy or anything. It was Canadian dry.
Exactly. You know, it's all in the eye of the beholder.
Who's the female?
So it is an ambiguous face, but the face is to represent a time and place, you know. So a lot of times I'll paint portraits of unknown people that, you know, might represent a day or a song or a place. Although it's a face, it's not necessarily a person.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So it looks like you did some stencil work here with the
definitely.
Hair.
I'm a stencil artist at heart. Like, I love screen printing and stencil making. And that's my style. I'm a layer artist and I just layer paper, stencils, splashes of paint, kind of like textures and vibrant colors.
So in my limited art career here, I think of you as an abstract artist, kind of a neo-pop, not quite the same as Basquiat or Warhol, but kind of going down that route a little bit.
Well, thank you. Yes, I'll take that one.
Nice. And but what made you decide to do a trapezoid?
Ooh, I don't know. I just, you know, I'm always painting on a square canvas. I love making wooden panels and painting on wood. Mm-hmm. It's always been a medium that I really like. And so I was at this point where I'm like, how can I get away from the square? And so I started just making all different shapes and sizes, circles. And triangles and all kinds of stuff.
Well, this is a piece of wood right now?
Yeah, this is on a piece of wood. Yeah, then it's finished with a thin epoxy resin.
Epoxy resin. So I need in this table here, and I can have like a stream or something going through it.
Yeah, that would be nice.
People are amazing with the Live Edge. This is no longer a Live Edge desk that we're setting at.
Yes, I love a Live Edge table. I made my table at home. You know, I love that idea here, making your own table and just that craftsmanship that goes into, especially a table where you know you're going to have so many amazing meals with family and friends.
Right. My wife and I are, that's our next project. Nice. We're taking our parents' two kitchen tables that we grew up on and cutting them down and making a new table.
I love it. I can't wait to come over and have some food on it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like to cook.
Oh, yeah.
You're welcome anytime.
Perfect. I love that.
So you're staying out in Paulsbo? Is that what I hear?
Yep. I'm out in Paulsbo, holding it down by the Hood Canal, just over there in Edgewater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't know you had connection to Bainbridge Island whatsoever. I saw what brought me back to my high school a little bit. It was a little fancy art flyer newsletter type thing out of Bremerton.
Yeah.
I think Manette. And some areas over there have a kind of cool art culture scene that I don't get to spend time. I'm always just driving to Tacoma past Bremerton, so I don't get to stay there. But I know it's there and popped in a couple times. So finding that little art fanzine, I remember finding, you know, new bands downtown. So I was a Belltown boy, new artists and shows and stuff like that off just a black and white.
Yeah, the smokestack. It's an smoke amazing,
stack. That's what it is. Thank you.
Amazing little article that's been going on for some time now. And
yeah, I was at Artwork Friday, and I was like, the smokestack. It's like, this is really low key, low budget.
Isn't that cool?
This is right down my lane, right?
Definitely. It's a staple for the Manette area and the culture there, and just so many amazing people and artists located there, and just in the Kitsap greater area. I feel like there are an immense amount of people expressing themselves through art, woodworking, painting, sculptural. It's endless.
Yeah, and I hope to have more and more artists on this. You know, we're a society and culture podcast, but I think arts and humanity and it fit into that, you know. And, you know, having Thomas Dambo on was a huge score. He's an incredible artist with the Trolls.
It's amazing.
And then having other people out there and recently discovering Molly Bramer. She's a great muralist here on Bainbridge Island. Check her out.
Definitely.
And shout out to Dosvi, who does everybody's menu art in the whole city of Seattle and here on Bainbridge Island too. Great artist. And we have a very thriving art community now. And I found out through the interwebs that you have hung out at BEMA, Bainbridge Island Museum of Art, in the past. And as I was going to get some tea and water for us before we started, I ran into a lady that says, hey, talking to Corey right after this because I want to get a mural. So
yeah,
apparently people knew you and I'm late to the scene. Good to meet you, sir.
Yes, I'm stoked. Thank you for inviting me. And like, this is an awesome opportunity to connect with the culture and just the local scene here. So that's great. I'm happy to be involved with anything in my area. You know, it seems to be
You're community based, which
definitely. I think it's amazing to connect with your community and your neighbors and stuff like that. I think that's why I am an artist, is to connect with people personally through unforgettable art experiences. Mm-hmm. So that's why I really got into public art. And I think that that's a great way to engage people and ask them for their input, give them a voice, give them some ownership in the places that they visit. You know, I think that's a big part of the mural. So yeah, you know, the people here at the barn are amazing. And Kate reached out to me. She's been following my career for a while since the Bainbridge Island Museum Art, where we worked together. And so she said, you got to come have a tour of the barn. So I came down, gave me a tour, and just seeing this space, it's so amazing to see all the different disciplines come together for all ages. So, you know, I'm always snapping photos like, oh, that's a nice wall. That could be a nice wall. And then so on my...
Every empty space is...
Exactly. I'm thinking about a painting or a mural on the wall. And so that's a big part of my artistry, is probably envisioning things, you know, just dreaming up these ideas and then trying to put them into a visual aid that I can show someone and say, hey, this is what it could look like. And so I'm always doing that. And I shared some ideas for some murals here. And yeah, they're blown away. Like, we got to do this. So hopefully there'll be a community-based effort to do a mural here at the barn.
So take me back to BEMA. How'd you get involved with Bainbridge Island Museum of Art?
That was a great little love triangle that I had through the city of Bremerton. They were opening up a forum to talk about the the progress being made at Quincy Square, which is going to be 4th Street in Bremerton. So they had an open event at the Roxy Theater to voice your opinion as the community, voice your concerns and what you wanted to see in the project. And so I made my way down there and had an amazing time at that event. And afterwards, someone came up to me and was like, hey, you know, we're doing an event at the Bainbridge Island Museum of Art for Black History Month. You should come down, show some of your work. That would be amazing. There's going to be a bunch of other artists. So, you know,
it is a great, amazing event.
Amazing. Yeah. So I had to go down there, made a chance to bring maybe like 6 paintings. And there wasn't many other artists that had visual art. They were more photographers and
storytelling
and stuff like that. So my art really stood out. And that first night, Greg Robinson, one of the curators there at BEMA, saw my work and was just like, oh, this is amazing. He ended up buying a piece. And from there, he said, you know, we should do a little show. You have some pieces. We could block off a little side corner for you. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? I would love to have the whole downstairs if that's possible. And he's like,
awesome.
He's blown away. And I was able to get probably about 40 pieces on display there. And that was probably my first career museum show. And it was a hit. It was open for about 6 months. Mm-hmm. And I got a lot of traffic there. There was 3 paintings that
6 months. That's a long time to be showing.
A great opportunity. And I was there every day. You know, I would go down to like it was my office, talk to people, walk people through the museum.
Probably helps sales.
Definitely. I always think people aren't necessarily buying the art based on all visual. It has a lot to do with the artist.
Tell me the story.
You know? Yeah. I want to connect and know that I'm investing in something that I believe in and can continue, you know? So that was great. And I was able to connect and make a lot of bridges through that experience. One of my favorite things there at the museum was we had 3 large wooden canvases there that I started painting, doing my layering style. And then I had probably about 20 different stickers that viewers could stick onto the canvas itself. So it was a nice collaboration. Mm. And they had positive words that might inspire. They had different animals. So that was great. A really good experience. Something that I try to
incorporate community into,
definitely. That's make sure there's some community action going on.
You got some good penmanship for a signature.
Thank you. Yeah.
So I got a lot of questions for you. You started out as an architect and out in Vegas, correct?
Yeah. You know, I went to school thinking that I was going to be an architect and decided after taking a couple classes, like, hey, I think I want to be outside the lines. Like, there's too much rules and regulations to do what others want to see in the final product. And I think what really striked me in the architectural world is the endless amount of ways you can go, right? There's so many different concepts and stuff like that. And I immediately said, you know what? I think I'm going to go more of untraditional and try to be outside the lines. And that's really what took me down this artistic career.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Awesome. So how long has it been since you've been outside of BEMA?
It's been about 3 years. Yeah. So that was 2000.
I was studio in Paulsbow.
2020, sorry. Yeah. Yep. I had my studio in Paulsbow. And
you're 100% committed to art?
I am. Yeah.
So you're not working a restaurant during the day and painting by night?
Exactly. No, this
stretching the family thin?
No, this is an all-day, everyday thing. It's definitely a grind, and I feel blessed every day to be doing what I love. You know, any job you take on, there's going to be hurdles and struggles, but I feel very blessed every day to do what I love and to focus my energy on something that I can build with my family and also my friends and my community.
How do you go about pricing a subjective piece, a piece of art? I always wonder, you know, what is the value? I have a certain value to it. The artist has a certain value to it. It gives a certain value on its own. How do you as an artist not sell yourself short and not be too presumptuous?
Yeah. Something like that.
Some word like that. Too long to spell on the Scrabble board.
Totally. I think that's different for everybody. But, you know, as you grow in your career, things change and you start to make a name for yourself and gives value to your art. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that's something that most artists will struggle with in the beginning. Is it easy? No, it's something that's challenging, and you always have to be questioning that. So usually, you know, people are going to start with number one, how long did it take you to do that? You know, but also as you grow in the career and the things that you know, you almost take them for granted, right? You're like, it only took me 10 minutes, but over the last 10 years, I've experienced so many things to then get me to this point to be able to do that in 10 minutes, right? So in the beginning, time is of essence. And then from there, usually people go with size. What are you painting on? What size is your artwork? Is it something that I can hold in my hand, or is it something larger than life and I have to get a moving team to, I need three people to move this thing, you know?
Right.
So those are usually the two main components of pricing a piece. Something that, I write about all the time. That's something that is a daily entry into my sketchbook.
Yeah,
sure. You know, I think you got to get away from that. You have to define what it is that you hope to get. A lot of people break it down to square footage. Okay, this painting is 8 square feet. This is what I charge for a square foot. So that way,
so kind of like a canvas size.
Totally. Yeah. So if I'm painting a 2x2 and I charge $150 a square footage, added up, that's your price. And that way your scale is the same going down or up, you know. Again, paintings are subjective. So one painting could have a big value to me that you just don't understand as a viewer, right? So it could have a personal meaning to me. So that's why I charge.
Hard to
so
let go,
much.
Yeah.
Totally. So, you know, there's a lot of variables.
Have you done any like sketches for cigarettes yet? Like Picasso or
No, I have not. No. But hey.
They used to pay that way for a cup of coffee or a pack of cigarettes and stuff. It's like, here's a little doodle.
Yeah, no, some I of think those that's a are great fair trade.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've traded a painting for a truck before. And that was a great fair trade.
Yeah, for sure. What are we looking at for this piece here? This trapezoid American Dream.
American Delight. This piece is priced at $4,800. And again, it's a 4x4 original mixed media painting.
Don't break it on the way out, okay?
Yeah. No, these things are durable. It's definitely probably weighs about 25 pounds. The best thing about the art is you see something different every time you look at it. You know, you're like, you think you've seen everything, and then a year goes by, you're like, oh, that says something that I didn't see before. And then it starts speaking to you, you know?
Yeah, like the maps. You layer this with maps that have meaning, you know, like, and fairy schedules I've seen.
Of course, yeah. And that's the best part. The nostalgia of seeing these types of paper is inviting for everyone. Everyone can connect to it, right?
Yeah, you could do like Dempsey upsets Truman or whatever and paint Truman on it, you know, and you could have that all connected.
It's been a great avenue to connect with people on a collaboration level, because I have like a questionnaire that you could fill out answering those questions. Yeah. And then I use paper that correlates with that, you know? So now you have a story to the painting. I might have my own personal story, but as a collector, I mean, there's nothing better than to be able to describe the painting yourself, and then it be about something that you're enthralled about, you know?
Yeah, it'd be cool to take like a baby picture of one of these subjects and then put it in there. Now, when you do that, is that like paper mache? How do you lay it?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. You know, sometimes I make my own paper. That's always like a lot of fun. Screen printing onto paper is great. It's a lot of fun. You can get very unique with it. And then a lot of it is found. I collect a lot of just like trash mail that I get, right? Like the envelope that most of our bills are trash mail comes in are fantastic. They have so many good patterns and stuff. So I'm always collecting that. A lot of this piece has a paper from a 1937 Life magazine in it, which is given to me way back. I think I've had these things for almost like 20 years.
And how do you put those on? Is it like paper mache or is it gluing?
It's like a wheat paste. So it's a water-based glue. Could be used
on brush over the top or
on the bottom, the top, soak it. Yeah, just like paper mache.
Gotcha. And then you got stenciling, you have spray paint, you have paint rollers, and then you have a little bit of acrylic?
Yeah, some acrylic, lot heavy textures. So a lot of the times these take on like a three-dimensional vibe.
Right, but I'm looking at this. This is definitely a three-dimensional picture, but it doesn't have like stacks of layers
correct.
Of like clumpy paint. And
correct, yeah. All the portrait is done in spray paint. So I use like paper to create this reduction style stencil, something I've been doing most of my career. And so I use an X-Acto knife and paper. I'll usually draw a portrait on a large piece of paper, and I use an X-Acto knife to cut it out, and then I do a puzzling style layering system that's much different than most stencil artists do, right? You usually make a stencil so you can use it multiple times easily. Right. I'm making stencils that can be used only one time, and they're very unique because each one has been cut by hand, you know, so it has a lot of that artistic flair.
I see a guy on TikTok do that with his wife.
Beautiful.
Just pulling them off. And
oh, yeah. It's makes for a great time lapse.
Yeah. And then he also does like superheroes in children's rooms. And the amount of spray cans he uses just blows me away. Like, can you just hit the negative space of the stencil, please? And quit spraying the whole damn thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's been a lot of fun. And there's endless subject matter that you can take on, which is great. And I love seeing how other people use the same tools to make something, you know, because you give two artists the same tools, you're going to get a vastly different end product.
Right. And it's hard to have new ideas in art and storytelling and movies and
of course. Yeah. Yeah.
All that stuff. I mean, yeah, you have Basquiat and Warhol, but then we have Bennett, right? And they're all slightly different.
Of course. Yeah. I love that.
That might be your commercial.
Let's get shooting.
And now there's Bennett.
Yeah. Save some room.
What was I going to say? Oh, how big is your studio?
I'm working out of a one-car garage.
Nice.
Yeah. Extension studio at my house, taking it and just...
Where's the truck go?
Outside. Yeah. I mean, we're in Washington. Who parks in the garage?
No doubt. We don't. There's too much junk.
Yeah, no, you know, a studio space is one of those things that was really intimate, right? I've had the chance to have a studio far from home, and then I've had the opportunity to have a studio at home, and they each have their own challenges, obviously, but a studio away from the home can be hard because you don't get in there as often as you would like or as easily.
Right.
I found myself needing something back at the home studio to bring to my secondary studio, and so then I realized it's not necessarily about the size, but more so what you can accomplish in that space, you know, and how comfortable you feel.
I'm super productive in my at-home studio, which is a replica of this, but this place is so relaxed because, you know, I don't have the dogs, don't have the kid, don't have the wife, don't have the cars driving by. It's soundproof now. It's intimate.
Get the distractions out of here. Yeah, that can be tough. I mean, for any creative... there's a lot of distractions, obviously, and keeping focused and having those goals, you know, being able to define what it is that you want to achieve and how you're going to achieve those goals.
Are you mostly creative in the morning or night?
Oh, I started off only creating at night, you know, because I think a lot of people, like you're saying, don't have the luxury of doing it full time and they have to balance it with another job. And so you take the time you can get. Yeah. And sometimes that's when you feel you're most creative is when you're... your time crunch is short. You don't have too much time. So you got to get to business. You know, you got to get straight to it. You can't waste time.
Yeah. Gosh, I need to get back into art. I love screen printing. I love acrylics.
Well, you're welcome to come to the studio anytime, splash some paint with me, make a mess. I'm all about the collaboration.
You just got stuck with a visitor.
Oh yeah. Bring it. Let's go.
I love it.
Okay. I feel a barbecue coming on, a little backyard painting.
Yes, yes, yes. Let's go. Spring, summer. Well, we definitely staying in touch now.
Yeah, we're always daydreaming about that lovely weather, huh?
Yeah. Well, you know, Monday, was it Monday? Sometime this week, the sun came out.
And yeah, it was glorious.
Down to Seattle and worked on some photography that I wanted to do. Trying to do a thing about homelessness in Seattle in a... black and white theme.
Beautiful. Yeah. I think that was my first love for the art was film, shooting some photography on my 35 Minolta camera.
Well, I got the iPhone 15 now. You just press and click.
I know. It's so
crazy.
Easy.
Good.
That's good. Everybody has the opportunity. And I mean, it's so lightweight. So you don't got to be carrying around all these lenses.
And you don't have to get stuff jacked from your car when you leave it in there.
Talk about Seattle, huh?
Yeah, well, everywhere.
Yeah. You know, it's gotten worse.
Tremolo, the whole shebang.
Mm-hmm. Lock it up.
Yeah. Hey, so what have you been up to, right? Besides, you know, painting this gorgeous picture in your...
Trying to stay busy. I just did a project in Vegas a few months ago to beautify a local park, Rotary Park in Las Vegas. We did 5 murals to uplift this beautiful park, old growth, lots of big trees next to a middle school. They've seen a lot of displacement in Las Vegas as well, as you're talking about the homelessness and a lot of people camping out at these parks. And so the city thought it would be a good idea to, you know, let's add something that is artistic flair that gives ownership mm-hmm. to the community. So when we do have people displaced and they are hanging out in the parks more, they're going to treat it as if it's their own. You know, they have something to...
The more pride in it.
Definitely. They have pride and they want to yeah. take care of it and they want to make sure that yeah. people are respecting it.
I noticed that between second and third, there was all these storefronts closed and such, and a lot of drug activity and homelessness. And there was murals on all these pieces of plywood on the boarded up places. And they were not messed with. You know?
Love that. Yeah.
And then everything else was messed with.
Definitely.
Broken, tagged, whole shebang.
It tells you how important art is, you know, to see art on a daily basis is something as an artist might take for granted, you know, but someone that doesn't live with art and have the therapy of it, just viewing it can be a therapy mm-hmm. to make your life better. So
right.
you can imagine what actually doing art and creating art can do for your psyche and your...
And to be so down and out and still have the respect for that one thing when you have very little respect for anything else, including yourself.
True that.
So I've had this project for, I think, 4 or 5 years now called The Graffiti Spot, and it's a Facebook page that I'm going to make a coffee table book about, where I've been taking pictures of other people's photography, like I did this week on the sunny day. But you must have gone down to Blakely Harbor, where the main graffiti spot is that I
of
photograph.
Course.
So every week I go down there and take pictures of the new art. And it always blows me away when somebody does something really incredible, and then somebody puts like "Sleep with Donna," you know, "Call this number" on the top of it. And I'm just like, what are you thinking? You know, and but there's so many great pieces there, and people come from all over to paint there. I've met so many people from out of town that go to that facility, and the photography there is beautiful because there's broken out windows and a roof, and there's so much open space to paint. I don't know where I'm going with this, but check out that page on Facebook. And have you ever been there? And how do you feel about people painting over other people's art when it comes to the street? Because, you know, like Banksy said, all art is temporary, right?
Of course. Yeah. I mean, that's what I love most about the art culture right now is there's so much attention on street art, you know, where mm-hmm. before it was something that was kind of shy.
Annoying.
Away. Yeah.
And now cities are paying people to do street art on the street.
It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. But there's two ideas here, you know, street art, that is the beauty of it, is temporary and it's in the moment. You know, a lot of taggers, they go out of their way to steal paint and to spend hours on these graffiti spots and their name, and this could throw them in jail. You know, most of these people have fines, jail time, and it's pretty wild to think of now it is a flip side, right? So mm-hmm. there's these two ideas. One is that this piece has been commissioned, right? It's like a commissioned mural. Kind of holds a little different respect than a mural that is on a free wall or something like
right.
that. But at the same time, there's almost a beauty in this idea of collaboration, right? That, okay, someone is going to paint a mural, like you're saying, with their own budget. They're paying mm-hmm. to paint these things, and then someone's going to come around and just paint over it, you know?
Right. And paint's not cheap. It's well over $5 a can. And then, I don't know about you, but there's tips now for the
oh yeah, definitely. Always did so, some tips, but
those tips start costing because you want different fine streams and such. And you see people basically bringing a toolbox to paint now.
And you get a fat cap, definitely, for sure. I mean, again, this is a passion and a hobby, and people are investing in themselves. And I personally love the idea of this collaboration, and art is not finite. It's not going to be there forever. So, mm-hmm. you know, one of the best collaborations I've had is inviting with some of my close friends. And this would be the same kind of idea that we would envelop in the studio is, okay, I'm going to paint something and then you're going to come and paint over 90% of that. And then I'll do 80% and mm-hmm. something beautiful always comes out of it. Right. So obviously there's these two sides to each coin where it's like, it could be flattery, you know, a lot of times like mm-hmm. people have these hate relationships in street art and I'm going to cover up what you do. But at the same time, it's like flattery, you know, because I'm your biggest fan. I know all your work. I know all your tags and your handles and your throw-ups and stuff. So it's really cool. I personally think it's a great thing to just keep your mind fresh, not get connected too much and don't hold
on. Yeah, being connected to your art is tough.
It is.
Yeah.
You want to be connected, but then at the same time, don't be so connected that you can never give it away or like,
I have so many photographs that are printed from different generations and stuff and paperwork about, what do you call it, your family tree and such. It just takes up my office.
Yeah.
It's just like so much. And there's a part of me that just can't throw crap away.
I get it. Yeah.
I'll use that later. I'm sure with painting too and pieces of wood and extra canvas and, you know, scraps of paint here and there, you know, you just, I'll probably use this later.
Totally.
You know?
But this is the mixed media way that I've been able to deal with some of these issues. Same thing. I have that with paper and, like you're saying, cuts brushes. Of wood, brushes and stuff like that. And in the mixed media, I've just said, you know, let me use it. Let me use it as a canvas. So I'll take a lot of those beautiful photos and paperworks and I'll just put them in the back of the painting.
You ever thought about putting wire in it?
No, I haven't. But that could be cool.
I saw this show in New York a long time ago that stuck with me, and it was all about crows. And they had crows in different, like, leather and bondage things, and then they had behind fences, and then they also built up beaks with chicken wire and stuff. So the chicken wire was kind of thrown in there, and it gave it a lot of depth and such. But
heck yeah. I love three-dimensional art, sculptural art. Definitely trying to get there and try new things outside my norm.
I keep looking at her instead of you because
she's
got her eye on me.
Yeah, she's watching you. And one thing I love about painting eyes is they're always following you. You know, I got a gallery at the house, you know, of just all the work over the years. And
they're looking at you.
Yeah, they're looking at me, you know.
Come on in.
Tell me all about it.
What are you painting today?
Come over here. Yeah.
So, what are your upcoming projects and what
do
you
have? I have a show going on right now currently at the Northwest African American Museum in Seattle, a show entitled Positive Frequencies and How Music Heals, Elevates New Thought. And so I've painted a handful of African American musicians that have inspired me over the years. And that's really cool. So that's open in for a few more months. So you got to get over there and check that out. I'm working with the city of Bremerton right now to do some interpretive signage that's going to go with Quincy Square, beautiful, iconic producer Quincy Jones. We're going to highlight him and his life in Bremerton, as well as other icons of Bremerton. So, you know, we've been asking public entities and the community of who do they think should be highlighted in the Bremerton area, whether it's past musicians, artists, athletes, poets, there's really no end. So we'll be having a couple key dates listing facts and history of Bremerton on these signs while also having a nice artistic flair. So I'm really excited about that project to come to fruition. Yeah, I got my next mural is going to be in Seattle at UW, which I'm really excited about. My good friend, Josh Fisher and myself, we connect on a lot of projects, and this upcoming project is for CoMotion, a co-worker space there, and it's going to be a nice Pacific Northwest inspired mural. So keep an eye out on the Instagram there for updates over at Art by C. Bennett. And after that, we are working on a current project at Mount Vernon High School. Mount Vernon, Washington, is an amazing place. I don't know if you've had a chance to go there.
No, I haven't spent much time there.
Yeah, a lot of rich history there. And surprisingly enough, they have the high school there is over 100 years old, and they'd already done a remodel. So now they're looking for art that they can put in the high school building. And we've been commissioned by Arts Washington to fulfill that order. And they have the largest folklorica and mariachi band there in club at the Mount Vernon High School. So we had a chance to hang out there and photograph a lot of the dancers and experience a lot of the athletes and culture that is going on there. And so we're doing a lenticular painting, which is kind of like a perspective painting. When you stand to the right, you see one thing. And then as you move to the left perspective, you see another image. So I'm really excited for that to come to fruition as well. And then I'm always staying busy in the studio, working on commissions, working on personal projects and stuff like that.
Do you seek out grant writing or?
I do a lot of call to artists. I haven't really gotten into the grants yet, but there's a lot of government sites and call to artist sites out there.
And call to artists is when a community says, hey, we'd like to commission to make our community a little brighter.
Yeah, they usually have a scope of work detailing what it is that they're looking for. And then they will usually list a budget of what they're working with. So that has been a great opportunity for a lot of artists to find work applying to these calls with their resume, past experience, and
show. Well, I'm surprised I don't see you here more then.
Yeah.
Because our art society is crazy here.
It's working, you know, it's definitely growing. So I'm doing my best. Please, if you hear anything, keep an ear to the ground for
me. Yeah, for sure.
Always put my name in the hat. I've got a couple murals in the Kitsap area, but I'm always looking to get experience and connect with more people. You know, I think a lot of the opportunities that I get, always looking to give the community a voice again and ask for a little participation from the community. And that has been a godsend for me. I've learned a lot about myself as an artist, as to see what other people really connect to. And I've made some amazing relationships with people as well through this opportunity to collaborate in public spaces.
Very cool. Tell everybody your website.
Yeah. So artbycbennett.com is the website. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, all those platforms as Art by C. Bennett. And got to check out the Instagram. I'm always posting amazing videos, time lapses at the process of how these layer paintings are made. And
very cool. Molly does that too.
Yeah, like a lot of fun. So that gives a, you know, I'm always trying to connect with people again on this intimate level of art. So a lot of the times I'm taking requests or just seeing what people connect to and what they feel nostalgic about the art.
You're pretty comfortable in large groups too.
Like, I love large groups. I love talking with people about what I'm passionate about. You know, it's a blessing to be able to do this. So I'm trying to beautify my community and really hold that up to a new level. So yeah, I'm always looking for opportunities. Last spring, I was able to talk in Washington, D.C. at the Capitol building to a group of high school award-winning artists that applied to a call to artists that is available to each state. And they pick two finalists from each state and fly them to Washington, D.C. and allow their art to be on view. So that was amazing opportunity to talk to the youth and really see what they're excited about in the art world. And I think that...
And what are they excited about right now?
I think a lot of people are excited to just do something that they're passionate about. You know, I think art has the spotlight right now, in that idea that I can dream a dream, and if I'm dedicated and I set goals, I can reach those dreams, you know? So,
because you weren't classically trained, right? You just started.
Yeah. You know, I had I really focused on graphic design in college. Mm-hmm. And when I graduated, I realized, you know, I could use those skills to do something else that wasn't a computer job and sitting at the computer for a long period of time. Yeah. And then I was blessed to find a studio close to my house where I could really dive into this art experience and process and find out what works well for me. I found a style that is unique and really speaks to a lot of people.
It's really so, you.
Yeah. You know, I feel like I'm expressing myself and I'm able to let my creative mind free.
And you have two young kids, right?
I do. Yeah. I have five and an 8-year-old. So I'm always trying to incorporate them into the artwork and the experience. We use it as an education. You know, I'm always painting well-known heroes as well as unsung heroes. So this is an opportunity that I can share with them.
And teach them about light.
Exactly. Yeah. How to use your voice to help others and to beautify your community.
Very cool.
Yeah, definitely.
I really appreciate you coming in.
Oh, my pleasure.
Talking with me, man.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Like, hope we can stay close from here on out.
I feel a barbecue coming on. Let's do this. A little artwork.
I feel.
What have you been cooking lately? What's your favorite thing to cook?
Oh, I've been doing 15 bean soup.
Okay. This is the soup season, right?
Yeah, I was just kind of keeping it real and bland and keeping the digestive system going all right.
Important, very important, yes.
Yes. All right, you've been listening to The Bystander. Check me out on Instagram and Patreon. I could always use your support. Artists and creators need support. Go out there at your favorite art walk, your local showing at the cafe, coffee house, bar, tavern, art house, wherever. Go out there and support.